good to see everyone this morning. We've had some people been gone for a while and they're back, and we want to welcome you back. I also want to say before I begin the message that I appreciate each and every one of you very much also. And the biggest appreciation that to me that you can show for me is to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what I strive for, believe it or not. It pleases me when I see the light come on and I see it get a hold of people's lives. I was praying about that the other day. I haven't changed my goal. I want this church to be a sending station for missionaries, ministers, teachers, and that will be done if we stay true to the call and if we'll begin to seek God's face. We need to pray, church. We need to pray, humble ourselves, and seek the Lord as He's commanded His people to do. He said, then I'll heal your land. And that's what I'm wanting. I want a healing in this church. I want this church to be able to go forward and be doing the kingdom work that we've been called to do. And I can't do it by myself. So I encourage each and every one of you to begin to pray and seek God's face and say, what can I do? This morning we're going to talk about Joseph. Probably the next couple Sundays we're going to be talking about Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob. And I want to talk this morning about the dreamer who became a slave. The text is Genesis 37, 5 through 11 and 18 through 28. I figured it'd make it a little shorter that way. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he had told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, hear the dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. His brothers said to him, are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Verse 18. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. And Reuben said, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. they took Joseph to Egypt. Father, I thank you for your word that never comes to you void, but always accomplishes what you sent it out to do. Lord Jesus, I pray that I might decrease and you might increase in presenting your word to your people. And let us draw the comfort from it, Lord, that many of us need. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph was Jacob's favorite son, and he made Joseph a coat of many colors. And according to Dr. Adam Clark, that coat was not made for manual labor. So his brothers hated him for that. They were all jealous of him because he was Dad's favorite. And I really don't think that a parent should do that or a grandparent. Sometimes we have ones we may feel a little more kin to than the others. But all it did was cause problems in this family. In fact, it said his brothers could not speak peaceably to him. And Dr. Clark says, the Hebrew says, his brothers could not even wish him peace. The greeting in that day was shalom, Hebrew for peace. And Dr. Clark says that the Hebrew infers they wouldn't even do that when they saw Joseph. They wouldn't even wish him peace. And there's always a contention going among them. And Joseph has two dreams that I think he delights in sharing with his brothers. I see Joseph kind of as a loner. I mean, his brothers didn't want to have a lot to do with him. His dad probably overshadowed him a little too much when he was growing up. He didn't want nothing to happen to him. And Joseph has a dream where he sees his brothers sees about his, and he delights in telling them that dream. And they rebuke him. They understood what the dream implies, and they said, are we going to bow down to you? And it said they hate him more. Well, then he has another dream, and I know I'm going just going over what we've read. He has another dream where he sees the sun, the moon, and the stars bow down to him. And when he tells Jacob the dream, Jacob rebukes him. And he said, am I and your mother going to bow down to you? But it said Jacob kept it in his mind or in his heart. God spoke to Jacob through dreams. Remember when he fled from Esau and he went to the place that he took a stone and used it for a pillow, and he saw a ladder from heaven to earth and the angels of God ascending and descending. Then he saw the Lord, and the Lord said, I'm the Lord of your father. And he said, I'm going to watch over you and I'm going to bring you back. Well, then a little later when he was living with Uncle Laban, God told him in a dream, these are the sheep that you need to ask for your wages. Then God told him later in a dream, it's time to go home. So Jacob was used to God speaking to him in dreams. And I think the reason that he kept it in his mind was that he probably believed by this time that God's hand was on Joseph. I don't think Jacob was so thick as to say, well, this is just this kid's ambitions. I really believe that Jacob thought God's hand's on this kid. And that's why he kept it in the back of his mind. And when he told that dream, it said his brothers were jealous. Now they hated him, which means they held him in contempt. He was daddy's boy. But they were also jealous. I think his brothers probably believed that possibly God's hand was on Joseph. And the thought of him being exalted above them, they couldn't handle that. He was already dad's favorite. He probably didn't do near the manual labor they did. I don't know. I'm only speculating on that. But now he shows up and says, hey, I've had a couple dreams. And in those dreams, people are bowing to me. My brothers, my father, my mothers, they're all bound to me, and they can't handle this. The part I skipped on is Jacob says, your brothers are at Shechem with the sheep. He said, I want you to go see how they're doing. Earlier it says, Joseph brought a bad report. We call him a tattletale. I had a brother that was that way. We would not let him hang around with us older kids So he would watch what we were doing and listen to what we were saying, and he'd go to mom and say, "You know what? You know." Anytime that kid said, "You know what," he's getting ready to catch a piece of recon, you know, intel. He's come to tell you what was going on. So Jacob figures if anybody's going to be honest, Joseph will be honest, and go check on your brothers. If you remember, Shechem was a small town where Dinah, Jacob's daughter, was violated by the prince of that area, and he fell in love with her. And he came and talked to Jacob, and he said Jacob kept it to himself. He didn't say anything until his sons got home. And when they found out what happened, of course, they were furious. And they said, "He shouldn't treat our sister that way." It says, then they dealt deceitfully with this prince and this king when they asked for a bride price. They said, "Name any price, we'll pay it." Well, Judah and Levi say, "Well, you're uncircumcised, so you can't have our sister as a wife unless all your males are circumcised." Well, it says the prince was more honorable than all the other men in that kingdom, which ain't saying much. But the prince goes back, and him and his father, and he said, "Hey, these people will dwell with us. Their cattle will be ours. We'll take their daughters. We'll give them our daughters. We're going to form this alliance." But it said Judah and Levi were deceitful. And after the men agreed to be circumcised, on the third day when they were very sore, Judah and Levi took their swords and they wiped that whole city out. All the males. They took all the spoil. And Jacob said, "You've made me stink in the nostrils of these people." And God again said to Jacob, "You need to leave here for a while. And I want you to go over here and camp." And it said God put the fear in everyone's heart so they didn't go after him. So this piece of ground they're on is the place where they slaughtered these people. And Jacob says, "I want you to go to Shechem and see how they're doing." Well, when Joseph gets there, they're not at Shechem. They're at Dothan, which is 12 miles north of there. I think it was kind of a party town. And they thought it'd be better to, "We'll herd the sheep over here." So Joseph comes looking for them. As a dutiful son, now he's trying to find them, and he's probably rehearsing the speech that he's going to give to Dad when he gets home. He's going to say, "Dad, guess what? They weren't at Shechem. They were at Dothan." Well, it says his brother saw him, and this is a terrible thing to hear come out of the mouths of siblings. "Let's kill him." Dr. Clark says that what they actually said was, "Here comes the master dreamer. Let's kill him and see what becomes of his dreams." How many of you know that you cannot thwart the will of God? These guys, in a moment of I call weakness and stupidity, thought they could. They said, "Here is the center of our problems. If we get rid of Joseph, well, we're going to have a utopia. No more cattle hell running back and forth to Dad. No more this punk kid telling me I'm going to bow to him." But Reuben seemed to have more of a heart than these men did. He said, "No, now don't kill him. Throw him into this pit." And the pits in those areas had water in them. So if they threw Joseph into the right pit, he'd drown. Well, Reuben picked the pit. He said, "Throw him into this pit," and that pit was dry. And the scriptures say Reuben fully intended, when the boys cooled off, to get Joseph out and take him back to his dad. I think maybe Reuben thought, "No, this would break Dad's heart, and I don't want to break Dad's heart. You know, this is going to hurt Dad a lot more than these guys think it is." You know, that's how sin works in people's lives. We sin because we want to sin. We sin for pleasure. It's what I want to do. And we rarely ever consider the people that we hurt. Rarely ever. And we see a bunch of self-centered young men saying, "You know, we hate our brother so bad, we're going to kill him. We don't care how it affects Dad. Dad will get over it." But Reuben rescues him. And unbeknownst to Reuben, he plays right into God's hand. Now, I want to talk a little this morning about suffering. That's why I entitled this From a Dreamer to a Slave. Joseph knew by his dreams, I believe he knew that God had a plan for his life. And he comes to see his brothers, and they throw him in this pit, and they decide they're not going to kill him. And then Judah and his brothers see this caravan of traders going to Egypt, and Judah said, hey, why not make a little profit out of this? After all, he is our brother. You know, that's really nice of him. We don't want to hurt him because he's our brother. And Judah was the one leading the delegate that let's kill him. So Judah says, hey, we'll make some profit. And they sold him. I wonder, when I read about that, if Joseph at that time still felt that God's hand was on him. In Psalms 105, David is writing about God's covenant with Abraham and with Abraham's offspring. And he writes this about Joseph. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of him, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in an iron collar until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. I cannot help but wonder if when they pulled Joseph out of that pit and they took the money and these guys put the shackles on his feet and a collar around his neck, if Joseph thought, well, bless God, you know, this is God's plan. If Joseph is like any of us, he's probably saying, what's going on, God? I thought you had a plan for my life. You remember the dreams? Who's going to bow to me? I'm in shackles and in a collar. God, there's a lot of different ways to get to Egypt. You know, it doesn't have to be as a slave. You ever feel that way? You know, when things are going right in our life, it's so easy to sing praises and raise our hands and just, oh, Lord, I love you. But it's when things all go south. We start saying, God, are you there? God, are you mad? That's the first thing we usually think. Well, we've been reading about Job on Sunday nights, and Job's three friends just couldn't wait to tell him, you know, you have sin in your life. That's why God did this to you. And God didn't do it at all for that reason. And they said, well, you've done something wrong. And it's like us, I'm including myself, that when things start going wrong in your life, the first thought is God angry with me? Have I done something to offend him? Am I not in his will? But God says something here in the Psalms that reveals something. He says he tested him with his word. That word tested refers to the heating of metal. The metallurgic art of heating precious metal in order to get the dross out of it. Now, the Bible says God will tempt no one with evil. And I believe that with all my heart. But I'll tell you what he will do. He will test you. Maybe Joseph was a little cocky. Maybe God thought you need to be taken down or not. Now, that's only speculation. God says his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I found out in Bible college from one of their professors that when people begin to diss God, you know, as being a genocidal, hard-fisted God, we want to defend God. And the professor said, sometimes you just keep your mouth shut. Why did God order a whole nation to be wiped out, men, women, and children? I don't know. I'm not God. He said, sometimes that's the best answer to give. But I can imagine Joseph going down the road, and it says the fetters hurt his feet. And with an iron collar on his neck, being led like an animal, to be sold like an animal, I can almost imagine Joseph thinking, God, did I do something wrong? Are you angry? Did I misunderstand? The Lord says, I'm testing you. We don't like being tested. And as I've said, very often we think, God, there's easier ways to get my attention than this. You know, there's easier ways of molding me into the image of Jesus Christ than this method that you're using. But do you know that God knows what's best for all of us? He knows what we need. And sometimes if we need to be knocked down a notch, he'll do it because that's what we need. We don't like it. I was sharing with one of the brothers here earlier that I found out at one time that men are controllers. Men like to control. And this counselor said to me, as a minister, you better learn real early in your ministry, you can't be in control. Only God can be in control. And that's one of the biggest illusions Satan will place on us. Is you're supposed to be in control. How come you're not in control? Where did this come from? How come this is going on? I remember a good friend of mine that had a 72 Harley police interceptor dressed out bike. And he rode it. And I heard he'd been in an accident. I went to see him in the hospital. Man, he was all bruised and cut up and black and blue. And he had a broken shoulder. And I said, what happened, dude? You've been riding bikes for 30 years. He said, you know that illusion you get when you think you're in control? He said, I hit some loose gravel, and I wasn't riding my Harley anymore. It rode me. And I never forgot that. And I think how many times in my own life that I have thought I'm in control. And then God tells me, no, you're not in control. I'm in control. You see, God sent Joseph to Egypt before the famine that he'd already determined was going to happen. He hadn't told Joseph yet. He hadn't told Pharaoh. He hadn't told Jacob. He hadn't told anyone. But that's why he sent Joseph to Egypt. You remember later when his brothers asked for his forgiveness. And here's the key to forgiveness, church. Joseph didn't say, oh, that's all right. He said, what you did, you meant for evil. He acknowledged that what they did was wrong. And he said, you meant to hurt me. But he said, God sent me here ahead of you to save lives. How in the world did Joseph know that? He figured it out. He didn't sing the blues and say, you know, do you guys know what I went through all these years as a slave? Them years I spent in prison, falsely accused. We're going to talk next week about the slave who showed integrity. Here is a young man who is the son of a wealthy man. He's a free man. But when he's sold into slavery, he says, I'll be the best slave they ever saw. I'll be the best servant this guy's ever had. When we work a job, Christian, it ought to be our goal to please the employer, whether they're watching you or not, to always do things that's going to help them out because it's going to help you out. If the employer's making money, you're going to make some money. It's sad. I worked in a stave mill one time, and these guys told me, you're different than a lot of preachers. You work. They said some of the laziest men that's come through here is preachers. Don't want to work. They want a paycheck, but they don't want to work. I thought as Christians we were supposed to do everything as if we're doing it for the Lord. And here's a young man that we're going to find out does. It doesn't mean he likes being a slave. I wouldn't like having shackles on my feet and a collar around my neck and being sold like a dog. But here's a man that knew God's hand was on him. God had a plan for him. But something you need to learn, he doesn't always let you in on his plans. Not right away. Would you stand with me this morning? We go through hard times, as Christians, as trials, and understand sometimes that it is your own decisions that put you there. Other times, you haven't done anything to be put there. God has placed you there for a reason. And for me, it's usually to show me what's in me. Because the way I react or respond to something shows, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So God's doing us a favor, as I think He is for Joseph. If you've never received the Lord, you never called on Him, I'd invite you to do that before you leave here. If you need to talk, come up here and sit on the front. I'll be glad to visit with you or one of the other elders. You know, don't walk out of here if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you that there's something that you need to do. Obey Him and do what He asks you to do as we sing the song of invitation.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
On the book of Ecclesiastes. Any other requests or announcements? That... Okay. Going to ask John if he looks closely.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this glorious day that You've given us, that we may gather here today and worship You and our attention to be on You. We pray for those that have been mentioned. We ask that You draw near to them. We ask that You draw near to those who have been in Las Vegas during this trial, and that You would guide them to see Your hand in all things. We pray now that as we go our separate ways, that You would be with each and every one of us, guide us in our thoughts and in our decisions, that You may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by His blood. Join us. devil this God, for I'm part of the family of God. For I'm part of the family of God.